12,000 this year when White's Orange County. I'm Alan Sector. I'm YU's Long Island Regional Director. Welcome to our pre-Pesach. Thank you, Robbie. Our pre-Pesach lunch and learn. Potato got into a little fender bender. So more food is on the way. It should be our biggest problem. But just know that we're on top of it. And in a few minutes, there'll be more wraps and the pastry platter and the much-needed Diet Coke, etc. So thank you for your patience while we work out that little detail. My thanks go to Rabbi Freundlicht and our friends at Beshal for hosting us in their ballroom for today's program. Baruch Hashem, the series has become so popular. We outgrew our space, and we outgrew our space again. Thank God we're here in Beth Shalom. Those of you who joined us on campus on Sunday night or watched the live stream know that YU held a very special program with Rachel Goldberg, John Pollan, and Louis Haar, marking 6 months since the October 7th massacre. I was there with my two oldest children, and I really never felt more proud to be associated with Yeshiva University. There will be a video of the program available shortly, and I'm going to send it out to the YU Long Island WhatsApp chat. If you're not on that list and would like to be, please make sure that we have your phone number. You can give it to Rabbi Auerbach in the lobby. And if you're not getting our emails, I can also happily add you to our YU Long Island email list if you give your email address to us as well. With that, I would like to wish everybody a Chag Kashrus Sameach. The next installment in this series will, God willing, be before Shavuos. So we'll take a little bit of a break from our local programming, but there's a lot that YU is doing. And again, the best way to keep on top of that is via our local WhatsApp chat send out with regularity. It's now my privilege to introduce Rabbi Leibowitz, and I'll ask him to thank today's sponsors. Rabbi Leibowitz holds the Abraham Arbisfeld Chair of the Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Smicha Program at Reitz, and he also serves as the Morad Astra Basic Knesset of Fort Woodmere. Rabbi Leibowitz grew up in the Five Towns and went to Yeshiva Karen B'Yavna before studying at YU Sy-Sim School of Business. He's widely published in a number of prestigious publications, but with more than 12,000 shiurim on YU Torah, he is known as a gifted, prolific speaker with a global following. We are truly fortunate to have him mentoring the next generation of YU rabbis, and we are also very fortunate to have him today to speak to us on getting ready for Pesach.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming to learn together this morning. I would like to take a moment to thank these sponsors, and they are Michelle and Ellie Selig, who are dedicating the shiur Le'ili Nishmas, Michelle's unbelievable father, Rabbi Hyman Arbisfeld, Hai Arbisfeld, Rav Chaim Ben Avram, Zichrono Levracha, in commemoration of his fourth yard site on the 7th of Nisan, his Neshama Shrev and Aliyah. It is also sponsored by Lori and Shalom Huberfeld and family in commemoration of the yard site of Shalom's father, Mr. Pinchas Huberfeld, Pinchas Ben Moshe Aaron, who is a beloved father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shrev and Aliyah. And also sponsored by Mrs. Lily Friedman in commemoration of the upcoming yard site of her husband, Mr. Al Friedman, Shmuel Zelig Ben Yisrael, and in commemoration of the second yard site of her son-in-law, Dr. Stui Mordukowitz, Shimon Moshe Ben Harav Avraham, both of which are on the 20th of Nisan. Their neshamos should have an aliyah. Also sponsored by Mrs. Giselle Beer in commemoration of the fourth yard site of her husband, Ira Beer, Yitzchak Dov Ben Tzvi Mendel, on the 27th day of Nisan, the Neshama Shrev and Aliyah. And I also want to take a moment to thank the additional anonymous sponsor as well. So thank you all for coming, thank you all for learning, and our Talmud Torah should be in Aliyah's Neshama for all of these precious Neshamos, and should be a great zuchus for the Jewish people as we draw closer to the Yom Tov of Geula, the Yom Tov of Pesach. So obviously, when you speak a couple of weeks before Pesach, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, literally 2 weeks before Pesach, the natural topic to think about is Pesach itself. But there have been some other things happening also in the world. Not only the one big thing that's been on our mind ever since Simchas Torah, but just this week there have been some unbelievable natural phenomena that have taken place that have also commanded a little bit of our attention. Just yesterday, I don't know how many of you took the opportunity with the special glasses to go out and to watch the solar eclipse. I did not, actually. Rav Schechter did. I don't know if it was planned, but Rabbi Taubes told me he saw Rav Schechter in the hallway, and he said, Rabbi, you want to see the solar eclipse? He said, okay. And he went, and they gave him the glasses, and he saw the solar eclipse. So there was that, and we thought that was going to be the big story. Everyone was asking me last week, the number one shaila I was getting last week, was what bracha do you say on the solar eclipse? People presuming that there's a bracha, there isn't. But they even asked AI if there's a bracha, and AI said yes, which is a good indication that there isn't. So everyone wanted to know what bracha you say on something like that. Everyone was talking about that. People traveled great distances to be able to see it. And then God's incredible sense of humor or sense of something, on Friday morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings an earthquake to our area. And that actually gets a bracha that nobody ever says, because you're supposed to say it within toch kedei dibur of the earthquake happening, which is about 3 seconds of when the earthquake happens. So what are you doing within 3 seconds of the earthquake happening? You're yelling at the washing machine repair guy, why is he making such a racket that he's shaking your whole house? Or you're trying to figure out what actually just happened. For me, it was guys delivering new mattresses upstairs, and I'm like, I'm not going to give them a tip if this is what they're doing. You know, it's by the time you figure it out, it's often after Kedei Dibur. But there is more to it than just a curiosity and just a phenomenon. And I think it relates very much to this time of year. And to a certain extent, it relates very much to, as I said, the one topic that's been on our minds every single day since Simchas Torah of this past year. Let me read you a passage in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, I think relates directly to some of these events. The Rambam writes, Hakel Hanichbad Vahanora Hazeh, this honorable and awesome God, Mitzvah La'ahavo Uliyira Mimenu. There is a mitzvah to love God, and there is a mitzvah to fear God. Shenemar V'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. Because the pasuk says that you have to love Hashem your God. Vinemar es Hashem Elokecha tira. And it also says that one must fear God. So dual mitzvos, loving God and fearing God. Says the Rambam, Vehechi haderech la'ahavaso v'yiraso. What is the path that leads us toward loving God and fearing God? B'sha'a sheyisbonein ha'adam b'ma'asav u'bruav hanifla'im hagedolim. At a time that a person contemplates his actions and creations, the wonders, the great wonders, v'yiramehem chachmaso she'en la'erech, and he sees an incalculable genius in the way the world is set up. Right? Did it ever occur to you that the moon covered the entirety of the sun? What's the difference between the size of the moon and the size of the sun? The moon doesn't fit neatly over the sun. Why does that work out, that the moon is right in front of the sun and blocks the sun? Over here it wasn't in its entirety, but okay, if you're in Dallas, blocks the sun in its entirety. Why is that? How does that work? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a world where the distance between the moon and the sun exactly compensates for the discrepancy between the size of the moon and the sun. What's it, 400 times the size? So that distance exactly compensates where the way the eye perceives it, the moon entirely covers our perception of the sun. A person takes a moment not just to say, oh, cool, I've never seen the sun like that. Oh, it's dark in the middle of the day. The animals in the zoo are all howling and going crazy. Saw that headline this morning. But to appreciate the brilliance of it, the genius of it, of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. When you see that, ein la erech v'lo keitz, there's no way to measure it, there's no end to the genius. Miyad hu ohev u'mishabeach u'mifa'er, that immediately you love Hashem, you praise Hashem, you glorify Hashem, u'mis'ave ta'ava gedola leida Hashem hagadol. and it inspires a person to have a great desire, a taiva. Normally we describe taivas as like a bad thing, because normally they are for bad things. But over here we're describing a taiva, a desire, a burning desire to get closer to know Hashem, to understand Hashem. Kamosha Amar David, as David HaMelech said, Sama nafshi lelukim lekel chai. That my soul thirsts for God, my soul thirsts for the living God. So I thought that considering we're on the heels of these two spectacular events, good, bad, otherwise the Gemara in Sukkah has what to say about a solar eclipse, whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, but it's a thing. It's something big. It's something that's very, very major. And the Rambam tells us that when we see things like that, and we experience things like an earthquake, we're supposed to appreciate the brilliance of the Bria and come to a love of Hashem. And I was thinking, what better time to come to a true, genuine love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the time of Pesach, than around this time of Chodesh Nisan? Because how do we typically arrive at a sense of love of Hashem, of Ahavas Hashem? Typically, the Baal HaTanya writes, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe writes in Sefer HaTanya, in the 46th Perek, that if a person wants to work on their Ahavas Hashem, which is something, I don't know, most people, I've been in Chinuch for a long time, well over 20 years. 25 years, I would say. And I've had Talmidim come and ask all sorts of questions. I'm trying to work on this Midah, I'm trying to work on that Midah, I'm trying to navigate this crisis, that crisis. I don't recall a Talmid ever, in all my years in Chinuch, asking, I'm trying to work on my Ahavas Hashem. Emunah, yes. My belief in God, yes. Ahavas Hashem, not so much. You don't hear so much. I'm trying to work on my love of God. But it's a mitzvah in the Torah. And it seems like a really important mitzvah, because it sort of kicks off Kriya Shema. Right after we acknowledge that there is a God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the very next words, Baruch Shem Kol Malchei on that, but it's via hafta, it's Hashem Elokecha. By the way, via hafta and not via hafta. I don't know if you detected the difference, but it's a very important difference. Via hafta means, and you loved God, the past tense. There's something called the Vava Hipuch. Why don't we just do a tiktok lesson now, right? Wouldn't that be enthralling for everybody if we did a tiktok lesson? The Ahavta means, and you shall love God. You must love God. It's a commandment. So it's actually a critical difference. Sometimes the Mila El, Mila Ra, that you despised in grade school, actually is very, very critical in terms of being Yotzei Mitzvah Daraisa of Kriya Shema each and every day. So the word actually means something different. So the Ahavta is Hashem Elokecha. We talk about our requirement, our obligation, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's something worth working on. How does one achieve Ahavas Hashem? So we read the Rambam that one achieves Ahavas Hashem, but I can't make earthquakes every day. I can't. How do I do it if I'm not traveling to the Grand Canyon, if I'm not going to see Niagara Falls, if I'm not looking at the Nifla'os HaBorei? What do I do, says the Baal HaTanya in the 46th parak of his Sefer HaTanya, that when one appreciates how much Hashem loved us and expressed his love for us through particular events, and he highlights specifically Yitzias Mitzrayim. When you appreciate the love that it took, that Hashem showed us through Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's a principle called Kemayim Panim El Panim, that as one expresses emotion to us, we tend to mirror that emotion back to the other. I was going to say the other person, but over here it's true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That kemayim panim el panim, when we appreciate how much Hashem loves us, we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. That's the story they tell with the Panovitcher Rav Zichrono Livracha, that he was once waiting to board a flight in Rome, and a secular Israeli professor who recognized the Panovitcher Rav from newspaper pictures greeted him and said, Shalom Aleichem. And the Rav responded, seeing a fellow Jew in Rome, he was so excited, he gave the guy a hug. And the guy said, oh, Rabbi, if you knew what kind of sinner I am, you wouldn't hug and kiss me. And the Panovitch Rav hugged him again and said, if you only knew how much Hashem loves you despite all your sins, you wouldn't be sinning anymore. And it's the fellow said afterwards, this story did not make me a Baal Tshuva, he wrote in his memoirs, but I did begin to put more thought into my life. And I started trying to improve my ways. When a person appreciates how much Hashem loves them, they tend to mirror that back, to express that back. And it's true of, obviously, it's true of personal, interpersonal relationships, that we tend to mirror the feelings that are expressed toward us. But it's true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, that when we recognize how much Hashem loves us, we tend to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu back. And the intensity of Hashem's love for us is very great. The one of the Hasidic masters explained the phrase, HaBocher bi'amo Yisrael bi'ahava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose his nation Israel with love. What does that mean? Hashem chose us with love. So he says, no, what it means is that there are so many things Hashem loves. Hashem loves mishpat. Hashem loves tzedakah. Hashem loves Torah. Hashem loves so many things. Hashem is oev. Hashem shari tzion. He loves Israel. He loves Eretz Yisrael. He loves Tzion. He loves so many things. Habocher bi'amo Yisrael bi'ahava means that of all of his loves, his greatest love is Amo Yisrael. His greatest love, he chooses the one love over all his other loves, is the Jewish people, is Klal Yisrael. So I want to spend a little bit of time delving into this concept of Ahavas Hashem, this mitzvah of loving Hashem, and then maybe try to highlight four methods of achieving Ahavas Hashem. Something, again, that we don't focus on so much typically, but it's worthwhile focusing on. You know, sometimes it's helpful, if you want to understand a concept in Judaism, to find a parallel concept and understand that first. And then we can carry over the basic idea to the to similar concept. So we started with the Rambam that said that there's a mitzvah to love God, but that wasn't the only mitzvah the Rambam highlighted. What else did he say? A mitzvah to fear God. So let's talk about fearing God for a moment. What exactly is it? What does it even mean? What kind of fear is a person supposed to have of God? There is a contradiction in the words of the Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, that very same Rambam that I just read to you before, continues. The Rambam says, oh, you see the Neflos HaBorei, you see the greatness of God, and you have this taiva to come close. I stopped the Rambam short. I stopped the Rambam right there, where he said, and you have this desire, this burning desire to come close. The Rambam then says, when you start thinking about those things, about how close you want to draw to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atzman miyad hu nir tala achorav, you immediately take a step back. You know, it's like you see a light, a fire, and you're drawn toward it, and then you say, oh, that's hot, and you take a step back. So you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or this representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to draw close, you want to love, and you come closer and closer, and that's terrifying. And you take a step back. V'yorei v'yivchad. You have a sense of yira and pachad. V'yodeya shubriya ketana shvala afela omeid bedas kala mu'uta lifnei tmim deos. And you realize just how tiny, how minuscule we are, that we're a speck on this earth in front of God who created it all, who fills the entire earth and more. And we feel so tiny, and that, the Rambam says, that's what we call that feeling, is yiras Hashem. Which is a little curious, because the Rambam wrote another book called Sefer HaMitzvos, where he goes through all the mitzvos HaTorah. The Rambam held that it was very important to be able to identify, meaning not just to sing that there are 613 mitzvos or say there's, but to identify, what are they? What are the 613 mitzvos? So he made a list. He wasn't the first, he wasn't the last. A lot of the Gedolei HaRishonim made lists of the 613 mitzvos. And the Rambam, toward the very beginning of Sefer HaMitzvos, describes the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. And the Rambam says, you know what Yiras Hashem is? It's when you're afraid of Hashem punishing you for your wrongdoing. That's Yiras Hashem, what we call Yiras Ha'onesh. So it seems like a contradiction. Well, which is it? Is Yiras Hashem that I'm afraid of being punished, or is Yiras Hashem that I'm just so in awe, what we call Yiras HaRomimus, I'm so in awe of the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I feel so tiny. Which is it? What exactly is Yiras Hashem? Now, it's obvious that Yiras Hashem involves more than just Yiras HaOnesh. A person can't go through life with their entire relationship with Hashem being that Hashem is waiting to punish them for their every misstep, for every wrongdoing. Aside from the psychological damage that living an entire life with that attitude can cause, it's obvious from Chazal that that's not the entirety of Yiras Hashem. How's it obvious? There is a Gemara in the second paragraph of Pesachim, a fairly well-known Gemara. The Gemara tells us of a holy person, Shimon HaAmsuni, but we're not sure, maybe it was Nechemya HaAmsuni, someone whose last name was HaAmsuni, spent his entire life darshaning every time the Torah had the word S, Aleph Taf, S, which is almost like a filler word. It's not, doesn't mean anything. And he tried to figure out what the Torah meant each time. That's quite a job. Right, that's quite a PhD thesis, to go through every single time it said the word S and figure out what it meant, what's the Torah teaching me. Higia la'es Hashem Elokech HaTira. Now imagine this. He got to the Pasuk, Es Hashem Elokech HaTira. Where is that Pasuk, Es Hashem Elokech HaTira? It's in Parshas Ekev, which means he got to Sefer, all the way to Sefer Devarim. He got through Dvarim Eschan, he's in Parshas Ekev. He's covered every S in the Torah up to this point. He gets to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that one is supposed to fear. Es Hashem Elokecha. And he said, I can't. There's nothing that you can compare to that. There's nothing to include. There's nothing that's on the same level of Yiras Hashem. How could you possibly? And he, Miyad Pirish, he said, that's it. Scrap everything, all my life's work, everything that I've done to describe and to explain where, you know, what every S is for. It's all wrong because apparently it's just a filler word. It doesn't mean anything because there's nothing else that can compare that could be on the same level of Yiras Hashem. Ad Shabar Rabbi Akiva. Until Rabbi Akiva came along and said, no, Es Hashem Elokech HaTira is also coming to include something. L'rabos, Talmidei Chachamim. That a person should have a healthy fear of Talmidei Chachamim. So similar to Yiras Hashem, not the same, a person is supposed to have a mora, a yira of Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, your life's work is saved. You can continue darshaning every S in the Torah. Now let me ask you. We all know Talmidei Chachamim. And I personally have a tremendous fear of Talmidei Chachamim. But is it a fear of punishment? Is that what the sum total of the fear is? I have a tremendous fear of my Rebbe, who's the greatest Talmid Chacham I know. Probably because he's the greatest Talmid Chacham on the planet. And like there right now, I have four open-ended questions that people have asked me to go ask my Rebbe. And I work in the same building as him. I sit in the same base medrash as him. Till I go over, the list has to get really long. I have to build up a lot of courage. Now, he's so soft and easy to talk to and unassuming and never makes it awkward. There's just a yira. It takes a lot. It takes a lot for me to go over to him. When his son texts me, go ask my father this. Okay, then I say, your son told me to ask. But other than that, if it's anybody else, I'm not going over so quick. Is it because I'm afraid that Rav Schechter is going to punish me? That he's going to say, he's going to call up Rabbi Berman and say, this Leibowitz guy keeps bugging me during morning Seder. I'm trying to learn. Can you please get rid of him? Which is a thought that never occurred to me till just now. So now I have something new to fear. But that's not where it comes from. It's not a Yiras. It's obviously not a Yiras HaOnesh. It's obviously not a fear of punishment, of reprisal, of something like that. It's a Yiras HaRomimus. That you're in the presence of greatness and you appreciate that you're in the presence of greatness. So Es Hashem Elokech HaTira can't just mean, the sum total of Es Hashem Elokech HaTira can't possibly mean Yiras HaOnesh alone. Because then you would never be able, L'rabos Talmidei Chachamim, you would never be able to expand that category to include Talmidei Chachamim. So what do we do with this Rambam? In one place he says, oh, Yiras Hashem is when you see the awesomeness of Hashem, the earthquake, the eclipse, anything else, the Grand Canyon, whatever else you see, Mount Everest, whatever it is that you see. And then on the other end, the Rambam says, Yiras HaOnesh. So I'm not sure entirely what the answer is, but likely the answer is, along the lines that there is a goal to have Yiras Hashem. And there are multiple ways to achieve that goal. There are multiple means, multiple paths, and even multiple expressions of Yiras Hashem. There's Yiras HaRomimus, and there's Yiras HaOnesh. There's the awesomeness, appreciating the awesomeness of God, and there is fear of Schar VaOnesh, depending on the person. Both methods are legitimate. The highest madrega, obviously, is to appreciate what God is. But Hashem doesn't demand that high madrega from all of us. And maybe that's not a full resolution as to why the Rambam highlights one type of Yiras Hashem in one place and another type of Yiras Hashem in the other place. And why did he choose one place versus the other? I'm not sure. But perhaps he's telling us that both are a way to fulfill this mitzvah, this great mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. The Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, one of the Rebbe's of the Chassam Sofer, the Hafla'a, writes, he asks, you know, Es Hashem Elokechatir is a mitzvah. What does mitzvah mean? So we often, in English, it's a terrible translation that people have. A lot of English translations of words that we're very familiar with are terrible translations. None worse than mitzvah. How do people translate mitzvah? A good deed. Commandment is the correct translation, right? A mitzvah is not a good deed. I mean, it's good. It's good to do the commands of God. But that's not, the shorish of the word is tzav. It's tzivoy. It's a command. So Es Hashem Elokecha Tirah is a mitzvah. We must. We are commanded. And then you read the Chumash, and the Chumash says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. What does Hashem ask of you? Ki im li yira. He wants yiras Hashem. Asks of me? No, he didn't ask. He demanded. It's a mitzvah. He demanded yiras Hashem, says the Hafla'a. He demands a minimal level of yiras Hashem, at least yiras ha'onesh. He would love it if that were not the sum total of our relationship. If our relationship involved something much deeper than that. Something much more impactful, much more meaningful, that there would be a sense of who he is, of Yiras HaRomamus. And this model of two levels of Yiras Hashem carries over beautifully to Ahavas Hashem. When the Rambam describes Ahavas Hashem, you have a similar difference. In Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, as we described, the Rambam said, how do you get to Ahavas Hashem? Yisponein Adam. Think about the wonders of creation. Think about how awesome it is. And then in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Gimel, the Rambam says, how does one achieve Ahavas Hashem? How does one express Ahavas Hashem? Learn Hashem's Torah, do Hashem's mitzvos. You keep Shabbos, you eat matzah on Pesach, you don't eat chametz, you do all of the things that you're supposed to do. That's Ahavas Hashem. That's how we express Ahavas Hashem. Very different descriptions. What does my trip to the Grand Canyon have to do with eating matzah on Pesach unless I happen to be traveling to the Grand Canyon for Pesach? Very, very different models of how to achieve Ahavas Hashem. And perhaps, just like by Yiras Hashem, there are these two methods. So when the Rambam describes Ahavas Hashem through mitzvos, it's interesting. He uses the following term. He says, Ahava hamechuyeves. The obligatory Ahava is doing mitzvos. Mitzvos, as we said, are not just good deeds. They are commands. They are things that we must do. It's the Ahava HaMuchayeves. So fascinating. When the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem in terms of appreciating God and the wonders of God, he writes that it is Ahava HaRe'uya. Re'uya means the appropriate Ahava. Not the Muchayeves Ahava. Muchayeves is the bare minimum level. Just do what you got to do. Ahava Ru'uyas have an appreciation that the relationship could be bigger, the relationship could be more deep than that. You know, we have this idea of the bare minimum and then expanding on the bare minimum being greater on the night of the Seder itself. How do we do the mitzvah of the Seder? Every year, thank God, someone calls me up, a Talmud calls me up and says, my wife is due right around Seder time. What if we're in the hospital for the Seder? Give me the bare minimum Seder. Right, so bare minimum Seder is not that much. It's pretty easy. You can do the whole thing in an hour and a half hour, bare minimum Seder. But, kalamarbe, hareza meshubach. We read the story every year about the fellows that stayed up all night until the Talmidim had to tell them that it's already morning time. Meaning you have this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands X amount, but if a person has a healthy relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to do more. And the same is true in the idea of Ahavas Hashem. Even in the Birchus Kriya Shema, we say each and every day, both types of Ahava are highlighted. Because after all, remember, Kriya Shema is where we express, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. So right before Kriya Shema, there's a bracha of Yotzer Or. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. That's the description of the luminaries. That's the solar eclipse. That's Yotzer Or. And then we move on to Ahava Rabba. And Ahava Rabba includes phrases like Lilmod, Lilamid, Lishmar, La'asos, L'kayim, to fulfill all the mitzvot of Torah, to learn the Torah. It's also a type of Avas Hashem. You know, Rav Yonatan Sacks once pointed out that there's a very nuanced difference, a nuanced machlokas. You have to have like such a sensitivity to words to even appreciate that there is a machlokas here, but it's a stunning diuk that he made. There's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Let's start with this. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, what are we doing? We are being mekabel ol malchus shemayim. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that for most of my life, to this point, till a couple of years ago, I didn't really know what that meant. I thought mekabel ol malchus shemayim meant I believe in God, and that was it. It's more than that. Mekabel ol malchus shemayim means I believe in God so strongly that like so many people before me throughout Jewish history, and sadly so many people today, even as we speak, I'd be willing to put my life on the line for that belief. I believe in God so strongly that I would be moser nefesh for that belief. That's Kabbalas Olam Malchus Shemayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is six words. Which of those words are actual Kabbalas Olam Malchus Shemayim? Is it all of them? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, it's when you say Hashem Echad, that's Kabbalas Olam Malchus Shemayim. Hashem Echad. The Abu Draham, another one of the Gedolei Rishonim, says no. It's when you say Hashem Elokeinu, that's Kabbalas Olam Malchus Shemayim. What are they arguing about? It all goes in a flash. I mean, the whole thing happens in 2 seconds. So what are they arguing about? Whether it's Hashem Elokeinu or Hashem Echad? Hashem Echad represents that Hashem is the God of the entire Bria. That Hashem watches over everything. The Ashkachas Hashem on the totality of the Bria. That's a Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. That's seeing the eclipses and the earthquakes and coming to that kind of Avas Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu is our relationship, Klal Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which involves Torah and mitzvos, lilmod, lami, lishmor, la'asos. That's Hashem Elokeinu, our relationship, our more unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, both methods of Avas Hashem. So now that we've described the underpinnings of Avas Hashem, or what Avas Hashem means, and we basically describe two tracks or two levels of Avas Hashem, just like we've had two levels of Yiras Hashem, how do you do it? How do you achieve Avas Hashem? And let's be very, very clear. Avas Hashem is not something you either have or you don't have. Much like, and this we're allowed to use human relationships as a mashal to understand it, there are people in our lives who we love very deeply, and yet there are times where we don't feel that love as strongly as other times. That's pretty natural to the human condition. Love waxes and wanes sometimes. Right? That's the nature of the emotion of ahava. Love, there are people that we love more and people that we love less, even though we love them all. I love all the Jewish people, but not the same. Right? The love I have for my children is a little bit different than the love I have for my granddaughter. we love different people to different levels, right? It's not the same. When we talk about the love of Hashem, it's not an on-off switch. You either have it or you don't. It's a sliding scale, obviously. And throughout our life, it could be. Hopefully, we're in an upward trajectory. But how do we put ourselves on that upward trajectory of enhancing our love of Hashem? And I think I want to share with you four potential, four potential methods of achieving Avas Hashem, and I think they somewhat parallel the four sons at the Seder. At least the way that Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa de Nesivos, one of the Gedolei Achronim, in his Haggadah, explains the four sons. See, he does something very interesting with the four sons. See, what are the four? The Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Sheini Yodei Lishal. Right? So the Chacham and the Rasha are easy. They're easy. The Chacham, you open up one of those picture Haggadahs for children. So the Chacham, you know, he has a little payas, and he's got, or it depends on the Haggadah, maybe a big kippah sruga, and I think they just use the same pictures, they just switch them depending on which community they're, but the, you know, the Chacham is easy, the Rush is easy. You can figure the, you know, who's who. When you get to Tam and Eni Yodei Elishol, it gets a little more iffy. Like, is there really a difference between the kid who says Mazos and the kid who doesn't say anything? They're like, well, what exactly is the difference? So the Nesivos turns it on its head. He says, no, no. They're talking about, the four sons talk about four ways of relating to God. And he says, a Chacham doesn't mean someone who relates to God through Torah. The Chacham means someone who relates to God through nature. Avraham Avinu was a Chacham. He looked at the world around him and he said, there must be a creator. He had the solar eclipse experience, the Grand Canyon experience, where he was able to say, this didn't happen by itself. That's a Chacham. Rasha, we know what a Rasha is. A Tam, he says, is someone who relates to God through Torah. Through Torah. How do I know that, says Rabbi Yaakov Milisa? Because who's the person in Tanakh who's called a Tam? Yaakov Avinu is an Ish Tam, and the next words are Yoshev Ohalim. He sits in the tents of Torah. Tam means someone who relates to God not through the Bria, not through nature, but through Torah itself. Eni Yodei Lishol is someone who sadly doesn't have a relationship, not because he's rebellious, but simply because he just goes along with whatever's happening around him. Different, completely different levels. He doesn't even know how to open up some conversation. The Rasha at least opens a conversation with you, gives you an opportunity to talk to him. The Eni Yodei Lishol doesn't even open a conversation. So four methods to Avas Hashem. Let's extrapolate a little. Let's expand on that a little bit. Number one, the Smag, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, says that when a person has Hakaras HaTov, it helps to build love. Hakaras HaTov doesn't only mean to express gratitude, it means to recognize that which has been done good for you. And normally the natural consequence of that is that you then express it. A major part of Hakaras HaTov is to look for the goodness, to look for things, the good things that people do for you. It's like one of the very fundamental bits of advice that I try to give to young men before they get married. Just try to find something to express gratitude to your wife about each and every day. Thank you for, and be specific, because then you're going to be on the lookout for all the good things, and you're not going to be focused only on the things that you perceive as not so great. Just look for the goodness. It helps to build love. It helps in interpersonal relationships, but that's not our topic today. It helps in the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what the Baal HaTanya is talking about. The Baal HaTanya, when he says, talk all about Yetzias Mitzrayim, because then you're going to love Hashem, it means you'll appreciate all the goodness that Hashem had done for us. It may be how we train in Eni Yodei Elishol. In Eni Yodei Elishol, someone who doesn't have any, he doesn't have the kelim to start the conversation. So we say, okay, don't talk yet. Just be makir. Be makir tov. Just look around you, observe, see what Hashem has done for you, and then hopefully it will get him going, and he'll understand eventually. Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. You know, I've often shared that an etzah that I found very helpful in my own life, that Rabbi Yisrael Reisman quotes from his Rebbe Rav Palm, zichrono levracha. Rav Palm said, if you ever find yourself spacing out in benching, like it's hard to concentrate for the whole benching, I'm sure I'm not the only one. So he said, when you get to the bracha of Nodalecha, where you're thanking Hashem, you thank Hashem for so many things, just count them out on your fingers. All this, all that, right? On the Eretz, on the Torah, just count them out on your fingers as you go in benching. You don't have to do it like in a very public way where everyone's going to see it, you know, just very, very quietly. And I would add, in Modim, in Shemona Esrei, someone just asked me last week, when do you daven for your children in Shemona Esrei? Like, at what point in Shemona Esrei do you daven for your children? And I was very moved by the question, because I thought, that the question makes an assumption. Even though there's no bracha in Shemona Esrei that directly talks about your children, person assumed a thinking Jew who davens every day, of course, is going to daven for their children. So for me, it's in modim, just to have gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave me what he gave me. So in modim, there are also some al's. So just count them out on your finger. It just keeps you focused on to just think about the good things HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. The night of the Seder is ultimately a night of Hakaras HaTov. That's what Dayenu is all about. The Shem Yishmol, one of the great Hasidic masters, on the Eino Yodei Alishal, in his Haggadah, in his commentary of the Eino Yodei Alishal, he says that we call the holiday Pesach, which is a small detail in the miracle that happened with us. It's not really much, you know. There were so many other things that are more impressive than the fact that Hashem skipped over our houses. And if you think about it, it wasn't first that Makas Becharos said he skipped over our houses. Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, Arav, he skipped over our houses for all of them. What's so special about Makas Becharos that he skipped over our houses? What's the Havamina that he wouldn't? And the Shem Yishmol explains that normally Hashem loves us enough that when we initiate Kichudo Shel Machat, Moshe Rabbeinu hits the water, you do so, or Aaron hits it, whatever, you do something, you throw the dirt in the air, and Hashem will make something happen. But you have to initiate, you need to do something. But sometimes Hashem loves us so much that we don't even need to initiate. Normally you open Kichudo Shel Machat, he opens Kipischo Shel Ulam. Hashem skipped over the requirement of us making a small Pesach, and he initiated the Geula anyway. And that's ultimately, it's not about that he skipped over houses for Makas Becharos. It's that the entire process started without us doing anything. It goes back to the beginning of the process. Yeah, along the way, we started doing stuff when he told us what to do. But at the very beginning, what led Hashem to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, here, go let my people out. What have we done to deserve that? We didn't do anything. And sometimes Hashem's love is so great without us even opening at all. We're in Eino Yodei Alishal. We don't even know how to start the conversation, and Hashem starts it for us. A second method of Avos Hashem, I'll try to move more quickly, is to appreciate the wonders of God's creation, as we've discussed. My friend Rabbi Moshe Bamberger told me that he showed me a quote from Darwin, that Darwin was an apikores. And he was kept up at night by the human eye. He couldn't sleep at night when he contemplated the human eye. Here's the quote. To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection seems, I confess, absurd in the highest degree. He writes like Rav Lichtenstein a little bit. But that's what kept him up at night. He managed to be an apikoros anyway. But it's hard. It's hard to be an apikoros with that. The Nesiva says, which of the Dalet Banim does that relate to? The Ben that looks at the creation around him? That's the Chacham. So we have the Yodei Alishal and we have the Chacham. Third method, and perhaps the most direct and the clearest path to achieve Avas Hashem, is meaningful tefillah. The reason so many people fail at meaningful tefillah is because we look at the size of the sitter and we know that we can't do that meaningfully. The entirety of it is very hard. We've said many times, in this context and in others, take something tiny. And I don't mean a paragraph, I mean three words. Something tiny. And make it meaningful. There's a story I just heard on a podcast that they were interviewing the Talmud of Rav Volbe, and Rav Volbe was with a number of his Talmidim. A bachur comes up to him and says, "I can't daven. I just can't do it. It's impossible for me." And Rav Volbe says, "Okay, so put tefillah aside. Let's focus on something else that you are good at." And the other Talmidim were like, "Just put tefillah aside? Like, what do you even mean by that?" And they didn't say anything at the moment. He said, put tefillah aside, what are you good at? What talks to you? He said, chesed, ben adam l'chavero, that's what talks to me. So Rav Volbe said, so let's start with ben adam l'chavero, but let's start really, really small, really small. He said, how small? He said, when you go into a room and you see someone there, just greet them. Say hello to them before they say hello to you. You walk into a room and your dad is there, say, hi, dad. When you walk into a room and your friend is there, hi, friend, how you doing? Oh, if you walk into a room and Hashem is there, hi Hashem! What did he do? Tefillah. If he's there, just talk to him. It's all part, it's all connected. But it's the most direct. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says that a non-Jew is obligated in tefillah as well, because a non-Jew is obligated in emunah, and it's impossible to have emunah without tefillah. The Russia's entire problem, and what we fixate on in his challenge, is that he has no personal connection with Hashem. The most direct path to rectify that is just by talking to Hashem, just by teaching him how to talk to Hashem. And then a final method is Talmud Torah. It's what we're all doing here this morning, to come together, even when the caterer is late with the Diet Coke or whatever, right? To come together and to learn Torah together. That, of course, relates to which of the sons, in the view of the Nesivos, the Tam. Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. And that's really the entire Seder experience. If you look at the Haggadah, it's an exercise in Talmud Torah. Not like, you know, the paragraphs that we have all the little Divrei Torah on at the beginning. That's the part we cut out, by the way, for the lady that's in labor, right? Meaning the part that we focus on is the actual just darshaning the psukim, reading psukim and saying drashas on the psukim. It's an exercise in Talmud Torah. And that's why the Seder night builds our Avas Hashem. And I want to conclude, I said that there were only going to be four. There is no fifth son, but I want to conclude with a fifth method that I found in my life has been the most meaningful way to achieve Avas Hashem. And it's the most meaningful way to achieve a lot of things, actually. To find somebody or some group of people who are a paradigm of that midah. Meaning, when you want to work on your midah of emunah, your midah of bitachon, when you hang around, talk to, have conversations with balei emunah, balei bitachon, people who have that, it enhances your own experience tremendously. When you want to work on Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, and you talk to people who've given their lives, their children's lives, for Eretz Yisrael, it's hard not to love Eretz Yisrael more when you see that passion burning in other people. And the same is true with Ahavas Hashem. Whoever you think of in your life, that's a paradigm of Ahavas Hashem, that has that kind of beautiful relationship with the Ribbono Shel'olam that you're kind of a little jealous of, just to be around that person, to listen to them talk about it. I was very fortunate, most people don't have this fortune, that I became a grandfather before I lost my grandfather. So I had many, many years where I was able to see what Avas Hashem looks like in human form. So to be able to see that, to be able to experience it, to be able to connect to someone like that, that's Avas Hashem. So to summarize what we did today, is we discussed how when we see natural phenomenon, we're supposed to do something with it. It's supposed to bring us to a sense of Ava and Yira. And we pointed out that just like Yira has two levels, there's the basic level of Yiras HaOnesh and the higher level of Yiras HaRomimus. When it comes to Ava, there are also two levels. There's the Ava HaMuchuyeves that we have to do by doing mitzvos and learning. And then there's the Ava HaRu'uya, to love Hashem on an even different level, to appreciate Hashem. And we said that the night of the Seder is the night where we build Ahava, and we do it in four ways. One is by thinking of Hashem's kindness with us, which is really what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about, and that relates to the Eini Yodea Lishol, where we just tell him, don't ask anything, just look around, be makir. Second is to appreciate the wonders of God's creation, and that relates to the Ben HaChacham, who achieved his relationship with God through seeing the Bria itself, God's creation. Third is through tefillah, which is what we hope to encourage, that the Rosh, at least he's talking. That's the one thing he's doing, he's at least talking. So just direct some of that conversation, as Revolba did, to Hashem. Hello, Dad. Hello, Mom. Hello, friend. Hello, God. And fourth is Talmud Torah, which is the Ben Hatam, who appreciates HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning Hashem's Torah, and Ha'ola al Kulana, perhaps the greatest impetus for love of Hashem and the greatest method for growth in love of Hashem is to connect with those who are Oave Hashem. We should feel Hashem's love in a more direct and obvious fashion, Be'ezras Hashem, over the course of this Chodesh HaGu'ula and this Yom Tov of Gu'ula, and it should indeed bring about the final Gu'ula.